Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. This program is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, who's expanding its services to offer low-cost blood screenings all year round, now offering walk-in convenience to get the blood tests you want when you want them. MyLabs, patient-ordered testing, is available in Farmington at the hospital's laboratory and the outpatient diagnostic center on 30th Street. Also in Aztec at San Juan Health Partners Family Medicine at 120 Llano Street. With nearly 20 tests available, there's an option for everyone. MyLabs, patient-ordered testing, a wellness service of San Juan Regional Medical Center. Well, now let me introduce my guest who is here with me this morning. Mike Eisenfeld is here from the San Juan Citizens Alliance. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
I know I talked a few weeks ago on the program with City Manager Rob Mays about the city's plans for the San Juan Generating Station, and that I know got your attention and a lot of other folks too, because some of the plans proposed by the city of Farmington you have some concerns about, and you have some concerns about fossil fuels in general. Is that a good introduction?
Yeah, I think that that's a fair,
fair
introduction.
All right.
You know, like we've seen quite a process with the power plants.
Right.
And San Juan Generating Station went from being a centerpiece of Public Service Company of New Mexico and Tucson Electric Power, their baseload power structure for many years. And so
we're kind of a workhorse for a long time. And now they've all said, we don't want it anymore.
Or we could
generate power cheaper in other ways.
So
is that where we are?
Yeah, Public Service Company of New Mexico and Tucson Electric Power both did integrated resource planning, and they have determined that they would like to exit the plant in 2022. And so when you have these mainstays, utilities that are deciding to go in a different direction, it really makes planning difficult. And you know, for our community, the San Juan Generating Station has been here since 1972, and the associated mine, the San Juan Mine, and the economics have changed drastically. And so we have an opportunity now to start looking at what comes next. And it's our hope that, you know, we'll look at kind of a robust range of replacement power and a robust range of alternatives, rather than just sort of thinking that the San Juan Generating Station is going to stay in place.
Okay. And I think a lot of folks see maybe that as a long-term future, but I think a lot of the words that I've been hearing is the city, the region just needs more time as we transition into maybe other forms of economic development, other types of energy production. And so shutting it down 2 years from now, 3 years from now, people are a little concerned about with that abrupt transition without any replacement, maybe power generating capabilities in place.
Yeah, well, in 2017, the two units closed at San Juan Generating Station, and it was believed that the two other units were going to stay in place until 2053.
Right.
And then abruptly, PNM decided to that 2022 was more of the time that they were going to abandon.
Right.
And so they're going to start an abandonment process before the Public Regulation Commission, and it'll be important to for groups like San Juan Citizens Alliance to be involved in that. But we've known for the past year and a half that the contemplative aspects of trying to understand what comes next. And with PNM and Tucson Electric Power both deciding to go in a different direction, it was very well known that we have some difficult decisions before us. And so it was surprising when all of a sudden the city of Farmington said, hey, you know, we found this fantastic equity firm out of New York City, and we're going to go with carbon capture, carbon sequestration, and there's a good chance that, you know, we're going to be able to keep the San Juan Generating Station going. And then at the same time, some of the legislators from northwestern New Mexico were in Santa Fe talking about the need for a glide path and to try to keep the plant open for 5 years longer. And the problem with that is the economics. And the problem is that carbon capture, carbon sequestration is very unproven, is very expensive, it's parasitic. In many ways, it's a huge can of worms.
Now, let's talk about that for a minute, because you mentioned a lot of things that I want to ask you about. So this idea of carbon sequestration is the idea that a lot of the emissions from the plant would be somehow captured and used in some different way. It's a relatively new form of technology. It's expensive, I know. There's maybe, two other examples of it working in North America at the moment?
Yeah, so...
And that's what the city has said would make this plant a cleaner plant if they could do that with San Juan.
Yeah.
What it was before.
You know, carbon capture, carbon sequestration, it's not new. It creeped into kind of the end of the Desert Rock Project. And the idea...
That was another failed coal-fired power plant that was proposed for the Burnham area.
Yeah, so it would have been the third coal-fired power plant in northwestern New Mexico. And we argued with the owners and the equity firm that carbon dioxide was even a pollutant. And this was in like 2007 through 2011.
Right.
And towards the end, in 2010, the proponents tried to secure a grant from the Department of Energy to make it into a carbon capture, carbon sequestration project. And the idea is that you either sequester the carbon underground. And I think that ConocoPhillips had a pilot project for carbon sequestration up by Navajo Lake. It didn't work. And then the other idea was to enhance oil recovery. So you would basically, what Acme Equities is like a two-person equity firm out of New York with supposedly $9 million in assets. And no one's ever heard of them. Okay, so all of a sudden they show up, and the idea is to take kind of a chemical process.
Right.
You inject amine into the flue, and you're pulling out the carbon dioxide. You're putting it into a pipeline, and you're sending it somewhere for enhanced oil recovery.
Right.
Okay, and so the way that we evaluate these sort of projects is we look at kind of the whole life cycle, the whole process. So mm-hmm. if you're adding all these elements, first off, what are the costs? Second off, what are the technical applications? And third, what's the end result? Like, are you really doing something that enhances the idea that we're reducing carbon dioxide? In my mind, it's a huge, huge process that would require an immense amount of money. And the city's now going into this phase of a feasibility study. And we can't figure out who's going to pay for the feasibility study.
Right.
How long it's going to take. And then there's also federal aspects of this project. It's on federal land. There's state land. There's private land, tribal land. There's permitting components. And so how long is this feasibility study going to take? Is it going to be objective? And then who's looking at renewable energy and other opportunities? If we have 2.5 years before this San Juan Generating Station could potentially close, we need to utilize our time effectively. And in our opinion, we should be looking at robust renewable energy opportunities, utilizing stranded assets, brownfield reclamation at the mines. Another thing is that the mines, the mine owner at San Juan Mine, Westmoreland, mm-hmm. just coming out of bankruptcy.
Right.
And so you're seeing faltering economics. And so let's utilize these 2.5 years in a meaningful way to look at ways for us to diversify our economy, look at ways to create energy and electricity in a more sustainable way. And the coal is just way too expensive. I mean, I'd like to take credit for, you know, the environmental aspects, but I think it's the economics that are really driving this train.
Well, and that's a lot of things that are going on nationwide, I think, with coal-fired power plants all over the place, right, is the economics aren't quite adding up. The idea, I think, here is that the city of Farmington has now, through a kind of weird way that the plant was first kind of founded and the city became kind of a part investor, a very small part, and now with the exit of all the other major players, the city of Farmington finds itself pretty much in control of the whole plant now.
Well, potentially.
Which is why they're able to do all this, right?
Well, potentially.
Able to look for these other operators.
But, you know, part of the issue is that the city of Farmington owns 43 megawatts of a approximate 800 megawatt facility. So they own a very small portion. And when the utilities like PNM and Tucson Electric Power, when they leave, you know, what happens contractually? Are they still on the hook for liabilities and cleanup, decommissioning, reclamation?
Right.
There's a lot of issues out there. And so the devil's in the details.
Sure.
And you would probably want to know kind of what the overall financial aspects of ownership of the plant. And then, you know, like when you look at this whole process, if you look at like carbon capture, carbon sequestration, they're basing this on this idea that they're going to capture 90% of the carbon dioxide. And that's just not attainable. And the projects that they're looking at are in Saskatchewan, the Boundary Dam project. And then they were also looking at a project Petranova in Texas. And neither of these projects can really be replicated at someone generating station.
But that's where this technology is being used.
You know, it's being used, and it was sort of, even during kind of the Obama administration, there were a bunch of projects. There was the Kemper project in Mississippi, and there was FutureGen in Illinois. And they were sort of like the poster childs for carbon capture, carbon sequestration. None of these projects have been successful in an economic way, and none of them have captured the carbon dioxide the way that they were thought to.
Okay.
And so I would say that it's still very, very unproven technology. And, you know, it's been interesting for us because, you know, federally, one of the offices in the Department of Energy is actually called the Office of Clean Coal and Carbon Management. And they have been giving some, I think, about $50 million worth of grants to local communities to think about, you know, ways to utilize, quote, clean coal. And we just think that clean coal is a misnomer.
Right. Right. Now, the city has cited, I think, a study by an energy department under the Obama administration that said San Juan maybe was potentially a good place for this type of technology to try it out, to test it.
Yeah, and I think since, you know, in the past 4 or 5 years, the economics of coal have changed so dramatically. It's been, you know, a sort of situation where, you know, you're looking at probably $60 to $80 per megawatt for coal. And now you're seeing renewable energy that's half that price. And that's probably what's driving PNM and Tucson Electric Power and other utilities to make the decisions that they're making, is that, you know, it's just, they're going to dump more money into these coal-fired power plants. The other thing is, like, even at, you know, at San Juan Generating Station, they put in selective non-catalytic reduction, which was hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
At Four Corners Power Plant, they put in $1 billion worth of retrofits for selective catalytic reduction, which basically reduces nitrogen oxides, particulate matter, and sulfur dioxide. But this carbon dioxide problem is something that's relatively new. Around here, like, for many years, there was this big debate, like, is carbon dioxide a pollutant?
Right.
And I would say that, you know, between the carbon dioxide and the methane hotspot, that, you know, we know that there's some pretty significant sources of climate change inducing pollutants. And I think it's behooves us to sort of like think about ways that as we're diversifying our economy here in northwestern New Mexico and the Four Corners in general, we're trying to do things like recreation opportunities, tourism, diversification of kind of what we do economically.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, part of the equation needs to be the reduction of some of these pollutant streams. And I would like to see the city put as much time into looking at alternatives to San Juan Generating Station rather than getting on this carbon capture, carbon sequestration bandwagon. I think that it's not going to have a very good result.
Okay. Let me ask you. This, Mike Eisenfeld is my guest this morning from San Juan Citizens Alliance. The city, I think, would say that they are concerned about the jobs and the economic impact that the loss of those jobs from the plant and the associated mine would have on the San Juan County economy. And that would be the reasons behind their looking into this study, by looking into this options for the plant and these types of things. I think the city has said on the record that they're all for renewable types of energy, but there's not a one-to-one job match from a solar field or a natural gas plant that would replace the number of jobs that would be lost if and when the San Juan Generating Station and the associated mine were to close. And that seems to be the city's biggest driver, is to protect those jobs, which certainly would protect their economic base in the community. You can't fault them for that, can you?
No, you can't fault them. There's been a significant decline in the amount of jobs at
San Juan Mine.
We're down to about 400 to 450 jobs at the two facilities, at San Juan Generating Station and San Juan Mine. And with the bankruptcy of Westmoreland, it's more precarious than ever. And, you know, when you sort of like look at the prospects for other things like, you know, property taxes, which are important, and, you know, keeping money coming into the school districts. One of the things that we were involved with at the New Mexico legislature was the Energy Transition Act, and we were very concerned about making sure that replacement power was sited in the CCSD district, and that job retraining would be
money for that.
Focused here. And in my opinion, if you started really a robust renewable energy sort of economy here, another thing is the Center for Excellence. We're going to get $500,000 to revitalize the renewable energy program here at San Juan College.
True, that's right.
Okay, so one of the things right now is that it's almost renewable energy is sort of dismissed. And I think, again, that if the city were to put some time into looking at, you know, the prospects of what does it mean if you have an outdoor industry initiative and a company wants to come here, the first thing they're going to ask for is renewable energy. Okay, so if you brought, you know, 1,000 jobs here and they had solar panels like all over their building, and all of a sudden those people are coming here to Farmington and they're going, wow, this is a great place. You know, it's like a, you know, access to the whole Four Corners, and there's all these amazing things here. We've got Aztec ruins, we've got Chaco, we've got Bistay de Nizan, we have a new wilderness area, Mescuchapa. Which is just fantastic. And you know, so for some of us who've been here for a long time or who have lived here a long time, it's like, I think that, you know, we care about the community and we care about the coal miners and the folks who are, you know, in difficult situations. But it's disingenuous for the city to say, hey, we've got this carbon capture, carbon sequestration project, and everything's going to be cool, and we're going to keep the San Juan Generating Station plant open. And then, you know, some of the legislators down at the in Santa Fe, instead of sort of going, hey, you know, like let's work with you and let's figure out some solutions to some of the problems, they alienate themselves. And I just think it's that carbon capture, carbon sequestration, it's not going to happen. In the next couple of years, it's not going to happen where, you know, they're going to be out there installing carbon capture, carbon sequestration. There's going to be an extensive permitting process,
right,
and
right.
an extensive timeline to vet whatever feasibility study. Feasibility studies that we've looked at already, we don't think that carbon capture, carbon sequestration has a chance in the world.
Interesting. But don't you think it'd be an easier sell if we could point to a gigantic solar field that's being built in the Central Consolidated School District, or a natural gas peaking plant that's being built in the Central Consolidated School District, for folks to say, this is already, we're breaking ground, we're building this, and this is the future, in order to maybe move us away from this other older technology? Right now we don't have either. We don't have a big future for the coal-fired power plant, and we don't see any construction or any plans for any other kind of renewable energy projects. And I think for a lot of folks, it might be easier to swallow if we could see evidence of anything being built in the community or happening.
Yeah,
except just a lot of conversations, which are important.
I agree. I think it's almost an attitude, though, because, I mean, what has happened here at the end of the year is that that Navajo Generating Station, which is another, you know, major coal plant in Page, Arizona.
Right.
Basically, there were a huge equity firm, which is Avenue Capital, and a Chicago-based company called Middle River Power. They decided not to buy Navajo right. Generating Station. And then it was offered to the Navajo Nation. And Navajo Transitional Energy Corporation was basically pushing the council to purchase Navajo Generating Station. But the hang-up was that they were being asked to put up their permanent fund, which is like $1 billion for the Navajo Nation. And the Navajo Council, within the past couple of weeks,
right.
voted it down. Okay, right. so now this morning, what we're hearing is that the Navajo Nation president and vice president, they signed a proclamation that calls on the tribe to pursue renewable energy projects. And they want a diverse energy portfolio and job creation for projects that focus on clean energy development. And one of the projects that they're talking about is down at Paragon Ranch, which is like a 22,000-acre parcel down by Bistai Dana's Inn, kind of in that area between Farmington and Crown Point.
Right.
And okay. this area was identified in the Navajo Hopi settlement of 1974. And it was first going to have a coal-fired power plant back in the days that
okay.
PNM was going to build. But now they're talking about renewable energy. So in my mind, it's sort of like an attitude. And the other thing that was mentioned in this Navajo Nation decree announcement is that they want to do they want to restore the land. And so in some ways, that idea of like brownfield reclamation, like Navajo Mine is 50 square miles, San Juan Generating Station, San Juan Mine, there are some opportunities out there. One of the things that we're kind of interested in is working with the state land office
mm-hmm.
to site renewables. And I think that one of the coolest projects out there right now is in Kayenta. They did 27.5 megawatt solar facility, and it's being followed up by a 30 megawatt. And so compare that to the 43 megawatt ownership of the city of Farmington at San Juan Generating Station. I mean, I think that you can replicate with solar in a way that hasn't really been evaluated yet by the city of Farmington. And if the city of Farmington's going to spend millions and millions of dollars on their lawyers to push carbon capture, carbon sequestration, I think that's a misuse of funds. And that's the sort of thing that is part of my responsibility in working for San Juan Citizens Alliance as a watchdog and to look at, you know,
sure.
What is this process?
And I think all residents of Farmington, all taxpayers in the city of Farmington should be paying attention to some of these conversations, which is why we're having them this morning on the radio. And
and
I want to ask you a bit about, I want to touch base on a couple of things, because you mentioned a few things that I think are worth highlighting. One is the Navajo tribe and their seemingly very obvious pivot towards renewable energy. We saw that with the signing of this this resolution, the plan not to take over the Navajo Generating Station. I think that might give us a forecast of what could happen to a community. What happens to Page could certainly happen to Farmington. Once that plant goes away, the nearby Kayenta mine, same thing. And jobs were a big part of those conversations as well, were they not? To try to sell that plant to find a new owner, so because that's another economic hit if those jobs go away, when they go away.
Yeah, I'm not an economic development guy, and I don't know, you know, what you do exactly to incentivize. But it seems like that you know, we are at a crossroads as a community that we need to acknowledge that there's a lot of pressure on San Juan Generating Station to close, that an equity firm with over $9 billion in assets decided not to buy Navajo Generating Station, not to be involved at Navajo Generating Station. And then we have Acme Equities LLC show up out of nowhere with, you know, a two-person team that knows nothing about energy in the Four Corners. And that's what we're putting all of our faith in. It seems like it's misguided. And so all I'm saying is that, you know, you need the best available information to make the best decisions, and that it's due diligence. And I would respectfully ask the city to start thinking more dynamically. And, you know, we're certainly going to be, you know, pursuing as many opportunities. I mean, the thing about the Energy Transition Act was that, you know, there's a robust renewable portfolio standard that is now applying to this state. And it's, for better or worse, I mean, we came out of 8 years of the Martinez administration where I feel like we were kind of the gangly stepkids up here in northwest New Mexico. And, you know, I'm sure that there's a lot of difference of opinion about the Lujan Grisham administration, but I'm very enthusiastic about the opportunities for us to get some money into the Four Corners region and, you know, the reinitiation right. of the renewable energy program here at the college and you know, maybe some reform of some very bad policies at Farmington Electric Utility System concerning their solar, the net metering, discriminatory rates, or it's a deterrent to people. And you know, I think that we need to sort of envision what do we want this community to look like. I hear folks like, oh, this is a great place for retirement, and then, you know, you kind of go around town and you see all these signs, you know, jolt your journey. And I think it's you know, it's a fascinating time. I mean, I've lived here for 23 years, and in many ways, we have so much here. And, you know, you go to kind of, you know, big cities and kind of the whole, like, energy export scenario. And I think it would be neat for us to sort of, like, have a little bit more control over our destiny. One of the things is that, you know, we're an energy export zone.
Right.
And
have been for a long time.
I mean, basically described as a national sacrifice area in the 80s. And, you know, the coal-fired power plants, that was a different era. And so we're coming out of that. And so it's going to require some deep thinking and some problem solving. And, you know, we'd like to be part of that. But when you see kind of everything being thrown into this idea of the carbon capture, carbon sequestration, it's very concerning.
Well, and we have, as you mentioned, the Energy Transition Act did pass the state legislature. It was signed recently by the governor, and so that is going to be happening. And so that is a lot of dollars in economic development, in job retraining, and in replacement power coming to supposedly this part of the state. I mean, that's in the law, and that also is has millions of dollars to help PNM get out of the coal-fired power business. And so as we see that, let me ask you a little bit about renewable energy, because I know a lot of folks, their biggest complaint about it, they love it, they think it's a great idea, but what do we do for storage of that power? Because when the sun's not out, the wind's not blowing, the concerns are there's no energy, and if I can't turn on my coffee maker in the mornings, we're going to have problems.
Well, you know, I think you need to...
Nobody wants to deal with me with no coffee.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Okay.
I'm a four-shot espresso guy, so I hear you. But,
And that's the issue with renewables, is it not? That we just don't have a way to store that power that's generated in times when it can't be generated as efficiently?
Well, there's some pretty amazing energy storage technology that's very innovative. Arizona Public Service Company just announced that, you know, they're going to a very extensive storage and solar, going through solar and energy storage process. And, you know, I think that, you know, looking kind of at the history, you know, around here, is that we've never really advocated for, like, an abrupt, you know, closure of the coal plants. We'd like to see a diverse energy portfolio. You know, if you talk to Hank Adair at the City of Farmington Electric Utility System, I'm sure what keeps him up is, you know, trying to make sure that, you know, people have reliable power.
Right. Sure.
I think that, you know, there could be some compromises and some mixes. I've been a bit intrigued that our community, when the two units at San Juan Generating Station closed in 2017 and the three units closed at Four Corners Power Plant in 2013, that it wasn't, that those facilities were not replaced by natural gas. And, you know, what was the impediment there? And so now you're seeing sort of a vast decline in natural gas compared to renewables.
Right.
And so, you know, no one wants to see, you know, unreliable power. Nobody wants to see, you know, job losses. But it's going to take some deep thinking. It's not just going to be this, like, you know, quick, oh, carbon capture, carbon sequestration is going to, like, you know, come to the rescue.
Right. Well, I get that. But again, we don't see it. We don't see it yet.
Well,
I don't see these bigger projects. And if it's happening in Arizona with APS, I think that's great. But I think, again, a lot of folks would be more comfortable, less stressed out about this future if we could point to a big solar plant or a big wind farm and say, this place generates X amount of kilowatts of energy and they can store it for 5 days at a time.
I think that it's a burgeoning technology.
I agree.
And
but
so,
we're not there yet. That's my point. We can't flip the switch tomorrow and have that reliable power. And that's what I think worries a lot of people.
Okay, but I think that it needs to be incremental. And I think that if you look at something like the Kayenta Solar Project, that was permitted and built in less than a year.
Right.
And so, you know, at the same time that, you know, we're giving all this emphasis on carbon capture, carbon sequestration, we need to be out there looking kind of at what it would mean to take a complete 180-degree turn. I mean, we haven't been faced with this as a community because we were under the impression that San Juan Generating Station was going to last here until 2053. And so when PNM and some of the other utilities said, hey, you know, 2022 is the date, no, believe me,
there was a community-wide freakout. I remember. Yes,
right.
Sir.
And so in some ways it's, you know, an information gathering, you know, like when you ask the question, you know, what are the technologies available for energy storage? What would happen if we went, you know, renewables and the sun didn't shine or,
right.
The wind wasn't blowing. I mean, we hear that all the time. But that same skepticism about renewables, why aren't we as skeptical about carbon capture, carbon sequestration? Why are we throwing all of our cards into this idea and telling people that all of your jobs are going to be saved? I think that that's disingenuous. I think that that's not really what's going to pan out. And so I would suggest that we spend our time. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just, you know, an environmental policy guy. But my training sort of tells me to look at things as thoroughly as possible and get with folks. Like, you know, on carbon capture, carbon sequestration, if they're going to hire somebody to do the feasibility study who has a vested interest in constructing carbon capture, carbon sequestration, I can probably tell you what their answers are going to be.
Sure. But right. We should be skeptical of that.
If you want an independent analysis, then you need to sort of get out there and start asking, you know, some of the questions. But, you know, why is Arizona Public Service Company going to, you know, Vast Solar with solar storage? Why is PNM jumping at the bit for Facebook to be throwing, you know, solar for them?
Right.
One of the things that we really worked hard to do in a legislative session was to make sure that replacement power would be up here. Now, we don't know what that's going to look like, but if you have places like Paragon Ranch that have 22,000 acres and are slated for like 2,000 to 2,500 megawatts of solar, that could be a really big thing. And again, it's an attitude. Like all of a sudden you get, you know, Russell Begay was advocating as the Navajo Nation president, apparently looking at the purchase of Navajo Generating Station. And I understand, you know, because it's a huge revenue generator for the area the Navajo Nation.
There's royalties
budget
for the tribe and there's jobs for the tribal members.
So. Exactly. So, I mean, these are huge, huge issues, huge decisions. But it shouldn't just be like, oh, you know, we got carbon capture, carbon sequestration come to the rescue.
No, I agree. I think both paths are keeping people up at night, whether it's carbon sequestration and keeping the coal fire plant open or building a gigantic solar field with untested storage capacity or the hope that there'll be some type of storage capacity in the next few years when we need it, I think is the
idea.
Well,
if we've got 43 megawatts at the San Juan Generating Station, I would say that we could probably replicate that very easily with a solar facility that would be up and in operation in less than a year, year and a half, if we got to it right now. Okay, so 43 megawatts is nothing.
For the city.
For the city.
Which is the city's
needs. So then, you know, mm-hmm. you look at PNM. Where was that power going to? It was going to Arizona. It was going historically to California. They don't want it anymore.
No, they won't buy any carbon-generated power.
Okay, so the issue is that, you know, if you're going to put all your money into trying to keep the San Juan Generating Station open, you got two problems. One is, who's going to operate the plant? And then two, who wants the electricity? Nobody's going to want the electricity if it's over $100 a megawatt.
Right. The city would say, I think, and what Rob May said here on this program, was that if they can get this technology working, this plant would be cleaner than a natural gas plant.
Well, that...
So he says.
But I mean, that's like,
so wouldn't
it's like, you know, like, you know, putting pollution controls on your old Pinto when you could be driving a Tesla.
Okay. I suppose that's true. Still get you to the store.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, at what point do you kind of look at kind of the economics of, you know, trying to, you know, once this carbon capture, carbon sequestration is on there, it's never going to happen.
Okay. Too expensive. Too untested.
Too expensive, too long of a permitting process. It's parasitic, which means that you need a lot more energy just to get back to that. You probably need, like, you know, you're going to spend a lot more money on the parasitic aspects of the facility to create more power.
And then I have read that it's maybe even 20% of maybe the output of the plant would be used for this technology. So now you only have 80% to sell.
Exactly. And so then the other thing too is that this is all predicated on the idea that that you're going to send this carbon dioxide downstream for enhanced oil recovery.
Right.
And that's dependent on high prices, and you know, with depleted oil wells and dumping carbon dioxide into them, it's just not realistic economically. You would have to have a very high price for oil and gas industry for that to even make sense. And right now, with things like, you know, the amount of product coming out of the Permian Basin, I would question whether, you know, the oil and gas companies are even going to want the enhanced oil recovery process to be part of their portfolio. So, right. Again, you know, it's sort of like it's this. I wish that I had, you know, a crystal ball and could kind of be like, you know, here's, you know, where things are going. But it's clear that renewables are really could be a very important part of the portfolio here. And
certainly the state is heading that direction with the passage of this Energy Transition Act and the new governor for the next 4 years. I mean, this has some of these deadlines in place. And we only have about less than a minute, Mike, to wrap up our conversation. So it's one of those things that I know we're not going to solve the problems this morning, you and me. But it's stuff that folks need to be thinking about, I think, and watching as these other developments take place on all fronts, whether it's renewable energy or San Juan Generating Station.
Yeah, well, I think that one of the keys here is that it's really important for us here in northwestern New Mexico to sort of ingrain ourselves within the context of the new Mexico government structure, be down there talking to Energy, Minerals, Natural Resources Department, State Land Office. There's like about $50 million that were identified for job retraining that are going to be through workforce development and through New Mexico Environment Department. And we felt it was sort of important that that funding be not directed towards, you know, something like, you know, a train to take our coal out of here, which will never happen either. But I think it's really important for us to sort of change our attitude a little bit about the way that, you know, we project ourselves. I think that, again, our legislators were very ineffective during the legislative session because during the Energy Transition Act, I think that they could have done more to sort of promote this transition aspects and the economic diversification that people talk about. So let's look at renewables and as robustly as we are, some of these other concepts.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on it. This won't be our final conversation on the matter. We'll have you back.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay.
Mike Eisenfeld with the San Juan Citizens Alliance. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.